Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate. Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love. This is Talk Radio 680 WCBM. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. And tonight I don't have a co-host. No Mikey tonight, no Chris, no Christopher John with me tonight. I'm no Graham or anyone. I'm here by myself, but I got a guest. That's why I don't have a co-host, I guess. And my topic tonight is the future of banking, the ultimate guide to the future of banking by John Ogden, who's with the MX Group, and he writes these kind of books for them, and they're all about the future of banking. That's what they do. And so, you know, to me, this is one of the most important topics to understand because banking is changing dramatically, and you need to understand the trends in banking to maximize your personal financial management. And that's what our show's all about, is helping you efficiently maximize what wealth you have, whether you have a little or whether you have a lot or we have a tremendous amount. You still have to know how to maximize it and how to deal with it and so forth. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. One of the most important topics, banking, what's happening in the banking industry. So I want to welcome John Ogden onto the show with me now. John, are you there?
I am.
Well, John, I appreciate you coming on. I saw your book once. I don't know, remember even where I saw it. And I thought, hey, you know, what he's talking about is an extremely important topic for our listeners, the future of banking. I appreciate you taking the time to be with me tonight. Let's start with just give us a quick 101. What do you think is happening with the future of banking? And then we'll go into all the specifics of it.
Sure. So the 101 is that banking is becoming digital. It's becoming something that we think of primarily as an activity. We do it on our phones. We do it on our laptops. And it's quite a bit different than thinking about having to go into a branch, which is what it has been traditionally.
So I don't get to go in and say hi to Jill at the teller window anymore?
not during COVID, especially.
But, you know, there's still a lot of digital banking that's taking place where, you know, you'll have a digital Jill come up to you.
Sure, yeah. There can be chatbots and humans who interact that way, yeah.
So tell us real quick a 101 about MX and what you guys do, because I was reading a lot on your website and so forth. You're an interesting organization.
Yeah, we are. So we help with financial data, and we partner with banks, credit unions, and fintech companies, and other organizations that are interested in financial data. We also create products that help people manage their money because our mission is to empower the world to be financially strong.
Define that word fintech, because I know what you mean.
Right.
You know what you mean. But I'll bet you a lot of people out there hear that term thrown around a lot, fintech, and wonder what the heck does that mean?
Yeah, it's kind of a strange word. It's a two words joined together, so financial technology, fintech for short.
Okay, go further. What? So what does that mean? You know, so financial technology, what's that mean?
Pretty much anything related to digital banking, and so or anything related financial, anything you would do with a digital technology that has to do with finance.
So it could be like my company. On strictly a financial, you know, technology platform. So instead of coming in the office, meet with Drew and his team, you would just do it all electronically. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Finance is done electronically. Uh-huh.
Or it could be the bank that you, there are no branches.
Right.
There might be one branch somewhere in the country because somebody forces them to have it. But for the most part, there are no branches like Ally Bank or
right.
Or, you know, there's many others that Ally's the one. I could have said Capital One 360, but they have both. They
right.
go both ways.
Mm-hmm.
So a financial technology company is anyone that does personal financial things, be it banking or lending. That's another big one. Lending is,
right.
You know, there's nobody sitting out there. There's only a computer looks at your application.
Right.
And there are quite a few of those companies.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big space.
So that's what fintech is all about. And you guys are gathering the data and helping fintech companies be more efficient.
Yep, as well as banks and credit unions.
And banks and credit unions and so forth. What do you do for MEC?
I'm the head of strategic content. So I primarily write long-form research pieces like The Ultimate Guide to the Future of Banking.
So you just sit around and write?
Yes, that's right.
You haven't figured out how to create a robot yet to just write good content.
Hopefully it doesn't happen too soon.
How old are you right now?
How old am I?
Yeah.
I am 37.
37. So that's why you can write about digital banking, because you couldn't be 63 like me and write about digital banking. You got to be somebody under 40 years of age at least.
I'm getting close.
So you're getting close. So anyway, we're going to be talking about the future of banking. You're saying basically it's going all online. Are you saying how soon do you think it'll be until you see bank branches totally disappear?
I don't think that's coming. I think that we're going to have far fewer branches, but branches will still be around. It won't go from where we are today to zero, for sure. It'll just be a decline.
Well, how will they decide where they're going to keep a branch and where they're not going to keep a branch?
Based on data, traffic volume, and then also by where they want to keep brand presence.
So you don't think you'll see three bank branches on the corner anymore?
Not as they're traditionally done. They could pivot to smaller branches, very small branches that are just a place that people can come in quickly and leave. But, yeah, not as many branches as there have been, for sure.
All right. We're going to get into your paper, The Ultimate Guide to the Future of Banking, when we come back from this. And we're going to have a lot of my listeners are older. They're probably very disappointed right now that their bank branch could disappear in the future. But right now, we're going to go to traffic and we'll come right back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, president of the Financial Consulate and host of Money, Riches, and Wealth. So often a radio listener calls me saying, I've been listening to you for years and have been meaning to call. When they come in for their comprehensive financial physical, they say, I wish I had done this years ago. If you've been meaning to call and meet with us, then do not wait. Call now to learn more about our trademark financial physical. The financial physical is designed to be a comprehensive second opinion analyzing all your goals and objectives. Are you maximizing tax efficiencies? Will you be able to maintain your lifestyle in retirement? Is your portfolio properly allocated, or just a few of the many parts of the physical? The best part of our service is you get to see the final product before you decide if you want to pay for it. We do this to assure you we are not selling product, and we guarantee the physical to be truly beneficial. Do not wait any longer. Call 410-823-7283. That's 410-823-SAFE, or visit us online at financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
All right, we're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're here with John Ogden, and he's strategic content for MX Group, and we're talking about the ultimate guide to the future of banking, because you all need to know where banking's headed. And, John, you have an interesting, very first little statistic you write in here is, when was the last time you stepped into a physical branch of a financial institution? Now, my listeners hear that and think about, when's the last time you walked into a physical branch of your financial institution? For me personally, it's been well over 14 years since I've walked into a physical bank branch. So, as you say here, 18% have walked in the last week, 25% in the last month, 39% in the last 6 months, and 18% more than 6 months ago. When's the last time you were in one, John?
At least 3 years, I want to say.
Yeah. You know, I just about 14 years ago, I got frustrated with the brick and mortar banks, always nickel and diming me, never paying me anything, charging me if I go to a wrong ATM machine, et cetera, et cetera. And I saw Schwab had investor checking, and I thought, This is a no-brainer. They're going to pay me every time I use an ATM machine. They're going to give me my money back if anybody charges me. They were going to pay me 4% on my average daily balance in my bank checking account. There were no fees. If I ever bounced a check, they would just go over to my investment account, pull the money out to cover anything going on there. I mean, it was an absolute no-brainer. That's why I haven't been with one in 14 years.
A while.
But you know what really frustrates me, John, is that I meet too many of my clients come in the door, and when they, you know, meet them for the first time, they've got $50,000, $100,000 sitting in a brick and mortar bank earning nothing. And the bank is not ashamed of the fact that they don't pay these people anything. So what, you know, should people be using digital banks?
Yeah, I think for the most part, people are wanting a digital experience, specifically a mobile experience. And when we found through our research that people overwhelmingly think that mobile banking is the way of the future, and that they use it, more than 80% use it at least weekly. So certainly it's the way things are trending.
So if everybody is using digital and mobile banking, et cetera, et cetera. Most people, they may go into a bank branch only because it's convenient or something, but they're probably paying their bills online. They're probably using the ATM machines. They're probably depositing their checks with pictures or direct deposit and all that kind of stuff. So most people don't need a physical branch. And the virtual banks are offering so much more than the brick-and-mortar banks. Why would anybody continue to use a brick-and-mortar bank is my question. Now, you may not be able to answer that because you got a lot of clients that might be counting on you, and you're not about to answer that question. Is that right?
Yeah, we have a lot of clients that have brick-and-mortar branches, both banks and credit unions. And I think that most of them are attuned to the transformation that is happening. And they're trying to figure out how to strike that right balance between having some place where people can go if they do want to go, but then also having an optimized digital experience.
But the virtual banks are offering a lot more to people in the sense of, for example, Capital One 360 Performance Savings pays me 0.8% on my savings account. Whereas if I left it in a brick and mortar bank, I would get 0.01%. I'd get virtually nothing. Why would it be logical for me to leave it in a brick and mortar? And just a year ago, I was getting 2.5% on my savings account. So why are the brick and mortar banks so slow to catch up with the virtual banks?
There are a lot of reasons. One is they do have to pay for overhead, and so that does factor into the equation. And then they're also running on legacy software systems that are sometimes hard to move to the future of banking. So they're really wrestling with that right now, many of them. And they're trying to figure out how do they get ahead. And that's something that MX helps them with, among many other things.
So, and it's also, you know, there's a lot of inertia out there too, right? So people aren't necessarily leaving in droves. There are only a few radical people like myself at 63 that are going to take all my money out and never go to a brick and mortar bank again for the last 10 plus years. But for the most part, you know, people are still staying there. So why should they pay any interest to anyone?
Yeah. Yeah, good question.
So what are some of the cool things that are coming out to help you manage your money? You know, like you see these things where it says, if you're going to buy something, tell us first and we'll get you the best price on it. Are those types of things coming, and how do they work?
Yeah, absolutely. Helping people with their finances in a dynamic way is certainly already here. I mean, one thing that we talk a lot about at MX is just the having the ability to give people a financial feed that kind of gives tips that are based on their actual financial transactions and accounts. And so we help people pull in all their accounts in one view and then give them nudges based on all of their transactions and all of their account information to help them with their specific needs.
So you're talking about sort of like a mint.com type thing, you know, where you see what they're doing and you say, hey, you know, if you got a different credit card, you might be able to get more money back or something of that sort.
Yeah, and even more than that, like being able to see where their loan is. Let's say that they have a loan at Bank B and they have all their accounts aggregated with Bank A, then we would be able to say, hey, if you switch loans, you'll be able to get a lower rate and hopefully win our clients more money that way.
Huh. Now, do you work for the individual who has a bank account, or do you work for the big institution? Because if you're working for, let's say, Bank of America, you're certainly not going to tell their clients that, you know, hey, you ought to go over to M&T and get a lower rate. So how do you do that?
Whoever has the lowest rate would be able to show that rate to the user. So if it so happened that this particular client didn't have a lower rate or a better service for the particular product, then they wouldn't wouldn't message that to the end user. But if they did have a lower rate, then they would. They would let their user know that, hey, we could give you something, we can give you a better offer. And so it's really about giving the end user that knowledge so that they can make the decision for themselves.
So, who are some, you know, can you tell us some of your clients? Are we talking about Bank of America, or are you talking more smaller credit union type people?
All the range, like the full range. You mentioned Ally.
Yeah.
Ally, BBVA, and BECU is a major credit union in the Seattle area. Yeah, there's just a wide range, and including fintech companies as well.
Okay, so you got a wide range of clients in that regard. So what we're going to have to do right now is we're going to take another pause with traffic. We're going to come back with John Ogden. He's going to tell us more about what's going to happen in the future of banking. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
And we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. And I know that song. Gosh. Between themselves. Some are quick to take. Let me think. America Tin Man. I knew I'd get it sooner or later. Anyway. We're here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're talking with John Ogden. We're talking about the future of banking. And he wrote a book called The Ultimate Guide to the Future of Banking. And so, you know, John, you've got a lot of great statistics in here. I wanted to go. I just lost it a second ago. Securely managed. Oh, that was it. So the biggest concern I get when I talk to clients about online banking, John, is security. They feel that if they send their money off to some virtual bank or to some using online, that either somebody's going to steal it, or because there are no physical branches, they'll never be able to get it again. Hmm. What do you have to say?
Yeah, I mean, it's important to be sure that the institutions or organizations that you have your money with do have solid security. The security standards for financial institutions tend to be the very best of any organization out there, because they know that any security breach could just completely collapse their organization. But it is worth looking at what level of security a financial institution or a fintech company does have.
So how do you do that? I mean, how does the average Joe do that, John?
It's a good question.
Well, you're supposed to have the answer now.
We don't go into that in the Ultimate Guide to the Future of Banking. We don't go into that here.
Right. But it is, you say here that more people trust, 40% trust big banks, Chase Bank, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, 35% trust their credit unions, and 7% would securely trust Apple and Google to protect their financial data. Why is that? Did you think it would be the other way around?
Financial institutions do have a reputability with being safe. And so they have earned that trust over time, and I think people recognize that.
But I think that it's because there have been lots of articles written about how Facebook uses your information, Google uses your information. I think that's it. But you know what people don't know is that those big banks use your information probably more than Google and probably share it with more outsiders than Google and Facebook would ever do.
Yeah, at MX, we have a strict policy to never sell data.
That's what they tell us. You're talking about your company. Well, that's good that MX doesn't do that. But I'll bet you some of the people you work for, that may not be true. Which companies would you trust the most to manage your financial data? And you say Amazon, and they say Amazon, Apple, Google, and Microsoft. Facebook has got bad marks across the board.
Yep. Yeah, that was interesting because we said, which of the following tech companies would you most trust? And that was Amazon, Apple, Google, and Microsoft were about evenly split, and Facebook was essentially it was 0.6% of the respondents said yes to Facebook, so almost nobody really trusts Facebook with their financial data.
What do you want most from your financial institution? The best rates, 39%. Right? Now, why do people say 39% of the people say the best rates, but 89% of the people I meet with are sitting in brick and mortar banks earning zero? You don't know.
I don't have the answer.
I don't have an answer. And then 25% say the best digital experience, and the next one says the best customer service. Only 2% say the best branches, which is perfectly logical, right?
Right.
And why they're going to get rid of branches in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not all of them, like you say, but you're going to see a decrease in the amount of branches that are available.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you want to keep your branch open, go there frequently is what you're saying.
Yeah, I don't know if it would be enough to turn the tide, but...
Tell your friends to go there. Get the whole people from the independent living community, get a bus trip down to the bank so that your bank stays open. Anyway, which of the following do you feel represents the future of banking? Online banking, mobile banking. Now, here's an interesting question for you, John. Explain to our listeners the difference between mobile banking and online banking, because they seem like the same thing, but there is a very specific difference between the two.
So online banking would be banking that you would do via like a website. It would be on a desktop or a laptop.
That's online banking.
You'd go into an online banking portal on those devices. Mobile banking would be on a phone or a tablet.
So in either an iPad, an Android, or an iPhone, or something like that, you're dealing with your cell phone or your iPad or your Kindle or something that's mobile. You're taking it with you, whereas your laptop, you might drag it with you. But you're not operating with it on a minute-by-minute basis. Only when you stop and sit down and put it on your desk do you start working with. That's online banking. You're talking mobile banking. We're talking cell phones and tablets and things like that, right?
Yep, that's right.
And they're saying 70% want more mobile banking. Now, that's an interesting thing for myself. I do 90% of my banking online banking. I do very little with my phone.
Hmm.
Yeah, that's because I'm 63. I'm 63, and I left the brick and mortar banking world 14 years ago. But I still do almost all my banking on online banking.
So. Yeah, I do too. It might be a personal preference. I think that more people check their balances and things like that on a mobile device because it's just easy to get in and out. But yeah, anything that's complex tends to be more like a laptop.
Right. Which of the following do you wish your financial institution would invest more money in? More branches, more online banking, more mobile banking? This is a weird one because we just talked about the last one. Which of the following do you feel represents the future of banking? And only 3% physical branches. But here they say, which do you feel they should invest more money in? And 20% said physical branches.
Right. Yeah.
How does that make sense?
Yeah, a bit strange.
That's like political polls, you know? They say something, and then you ask a different question, and it contradicts the one they just answered over here. I guess it all has to do with the way the questions are asked or something. But is this exact question that people answered?
Yep, it is.
Huh. Well, that's fascinating.
It is fascinating. And it is worth noting that 80% still said that they wish that their financial institution would invest more in digital. So...
Okay. So anyway, we got to take one more pause and then we're going to come back, finish up the ultimate guide to the future of banking. But right now I got to go to traffic. Take it away, traffic. This is Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate. Are you looking for a professional financial advisor that you can trust and help you through all stages of life? Having a team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs gives us the ability to help you prepare your tax return, strategize to help you minimize tax liability, help you visualize and reach your retirement goals, and help guide you in every other facet of personal financial planning. We demonstrate these abilities every Wednesday night on our radio show, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Have you been wanting a second opinion? Then consider our trademark service, the Financial Physical. We guarantee if you don't come away from your Financial Physical with a sense of immense value, then there will be absolutely no charge. Call 410-823-7283 to speak with me and the team of comprehensive personal financial advisors and CPAs. That is 410-823-SAVE or go online to financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBS.
All right, we're back. Money, Riches, and Wealth. We're talking to John Ogden about the ultimate guide, the future of banking. And just before I go back to John, let me just say something to our listeners, you know, because I get this a lot. You know, oh, I don't do anything online because I think it's too dangerous. And here's my opinion. This is just my opinion. And maybe I'll get a cybersecurity guy on in the future. But if you don't set up online accounts for your financial accounts, I believe that hackers can come up with enough information about you to potentially open up an online account for you. And that's even more dangerous. I would much rather have an online account set up with my information in there as I want it to be, along with second dual-factor authentication, along with notifications that if I don't have to use it, if I don't want to, but at least if anybody ever tries to change a name, change a password, do anything, move any money or anything, I instantly get a notification on my financial accounts. So don't think you're being safer by not setting up online accounts. I don't believe you are. Anyway, we're here with John Ogden. John, let's go back to your thing here. And you say, how often do you use mobile banking? Daily, 26%. Every other day, 28%. That's well over 55% of people are using mobile banking. That's with your phone or with your iPad or something. Every day or every other day type basis, 30% more, at least monthly. And so we're talking 85% of people using mobile devices to do financial transactions. That's pretty interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah, that's quite a bit of activity. And I'll just add quickly that I agree with everything you said about security. I'll just note that.
Well, thank you. And but here's the interesting question. How did you get this survey? I mean, did you go out to a high school or a college and say, here, answer these questions for me? Or how did you get a cross-section of 80-year-olds and 60-year-olds and 30-year-olds, et cetera, et cetera?
We work with a survey company to get this that makes sure that they get a variety in demographics that are representative.
And what were the parameters? Did you go from 20 to 80? Did you go from 40 to 60? What?
I don't remember the specifics for this one. I think it was close or exactly 20 to 80.
Okay. 1,000 different consumers gave this information. Which of the following banking activities do you feel comfortable doing through a tech company? Making payments, 86%. Well, that's pretty easy. You know, you're using Apple Pay or you're using PayPal. I mean, you know, people buy things online. Even older people are using PayPal to pay things online.
Yeah.
Credit monitoring. Now that's becoming interesting. You know, I can go on to my credit card company and they'll tell me everything's going on my credit reports. And so that credit monitoring, that's becoming a pretty good service.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you should be tracking that. That's a very important thing. Investments, I guess, only 33% said investments, but I would assume that all investments are being done by mobile or online banking activity.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
Why would it only say 33%? Is it because you limited it to Robinhood or Wealthfront? It didn't include Schwab or Fidelity or Vanguard, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah, I think that because we said, which ones would you be willing to do through a tech company? I think it didn't include the other ones, like the traditional vendors.
Do you know that Schwab considers itself a tech company that happens to trade stocks?
Yeah, it would at this point.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah.
So what else do we have here? Your surveys were great. I loved them. U.S. consumers say that they interact with their financial institution via digital channels more frequently than physical channels, 86%. So here's my question again. I still keep asking it. John, why, if 86% of people are mainly working through mobile apps and through digital and online stuff, and they don't really go to the brick-and-mortar branches, why are they leaving money in the brick-and-mortar banks when the virtual banks are offering so much more than the brick and mortar?
It's a hard question to answer. I do think that there's something for tradition that I think that gives people comfort. And I do think that people want that option to go to the branch still. Many people still want the option to go to the branch, just as like, if not convenience, then it is comfort.
Okay. I think people actually believe that when they go into the bank, that somewhere there in that bank branch just sits their money with their name on it. I can't prove that, but I do think sometimes that that's what people are thinking when they go to their online bank and so forth. So, you know, what are some other when do you think Google and Apple and Amazon are going to get into the banking business in a big way?
It's hard to say. I think that they're already making inroads. I mean, you look at the payments, Google Pay, Apple Pay, and then just other avenues that they're exploring, partnering even with financial institutions and fintech companies. I don't know when it's going to cross over in a big way, but they're certainly making inroads.
But, you know, the interesting one is the loan companies, you know, doing mortgages online, doing just general lending online and things like that. Those are still slow to take off, but they're starting to. I'm seeing more and more. We actually used to only refer mortgage brokers to our clients, and in the last 3 or 4 months, we've started to recommend online mortgage companies more than a mortgage broker.
Yeah, it's shifting. Absolutely, it's shifting.
Because you're actually seeing much better rates coming from the mortgage online companies than you're finding from the mortgage brokers. You'd figure they'd all be right in the same ballpark, but they're not.
Yeah, lower overhead, in many cases better algorithms.
Yeah.
So
here's your last question, and it's in thinking of the future of banking, which of the following would you be interested in using if your financial institution offered it? Smarter identity and credit protection. What does that mean? What does that mean?
It means that people are nervous about breaches, and they want to know that their money is well protected and that their identity can't be taken. So financial institutions can help with that.
That is true. But, you know, the best way to do that is with a credit freeze. And I can't tell you how many people that I know who are worth a lot of money have never frozen their credit report. You know, and, you know, I don't understand that, you know, and everybody, if you haven't, if you don't, if you're not familiar with what I mean by a credit freeze, make sure you learn what a credit freeze is. Just go online, Maryland Attorney General Credit Freeze, and you'll get all the information you need right there. Maryland Attorney General Credit Freeze, and you'll get a website tell you everything you need to know, how to freeze your credit report, and why you ought to freeze your credit report. But here's some other one. Virtual reality apps for touring homes using interested in purchasing. You're saying that, you know, you banks would – people want their financial institution to do these things.
Yeah, partnering with Zillow, a company like Zillow or something like that, just being able to show people in virtuality various homes. I mean, that's 23% say that they think that would be – that they want that. So it's not a majority, but people – some people certainly want that.
And blockchain technology. Now, that's a topic in itself that we don't have enough time to go into because we're actually out of time. When you have a great guest, you have a show that just flies by. But blockchain would be a fascinating topic. So, John, you know, that's good stuff. Future of banking.
Thank you.
I appreciate what you did in the survey and everything. And I just, again, want to thank you for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.